Chapter 25. Reverend Ambrose, my aunt, and Miss Emma returned to the quarter, and I went back of town to the Rainbow Club. The place was in semi-darkness as usual, with three old men at the bar, doing more talking than drinking, and only two other people in the place, a couple of mulatto bricklayers sitting at a table. I had come here to tell Vivian that everything had gone well. Jefferson and I were communicating, and he and his Nannin were also talking. I was feeling very good, and I wanted to tell it to her before I told it to anyone else. How he and I had gone back to the table, and how we had eaten the gumbo though it was cold, and how his Nannin was so proud. I wanted to tell her that. I did not wish to tell her about the envy I had seen in the minister's face. No, I would not say that, that the minister felt I was controlling Jefferson's life, and that he, the minister, thought that since Jefferson had only a short time left to live, it should be he in control and not I. No, I didn't want to say that to her. I only wanted to talk about things that made me feel good. The look on his Nannin's face, the look on my aunt's face, the way Jefferson raised a spoonful of gumbo and rice to his mouth with both hands, and dipped the spoon again, and raised it to his mouth because I had asked him to do it. That's what I wanted to talk about. About how he picked up the bag of pecans and peanuts, and the bag with the tablet and pencil when the deputy came to the table to take him back to his cell. And though he did not walk as straight as I wished he would, the fact that he was carrying the notepad and the pencil made up for it. I wanted to talk about that to Vivian. Not about the minister, his envy, the way he looked when Jefferson and I had come back to the table. Sure, he was happy to see that Sister Emma was happy, but it was not he who had made her so, and he did not like that. Sin, or the sinner, had done this, not he. I wanted, too, to talk about how Jefferson's Nannin looked at him, as he ate the gumbo she had cooked especially for him, and about how he said goodbye when he had to go. That was what I wanted to talk about. It was near 3:30 when I got to the Rainbow Club, and I had thought that, by now, Vivian would be there with some of her teaching friends. Since she was not, I thought I would have a drink or two till she showed up. I could hear the mulatto bricklayers talking over in the corner. I was in a very good mood, at least I thought I was, and at first I wasn't paying much attention to what they were saying. I could hear them well enough, but I had no idea that they were speaking for my benefit. I had ordered a bourbon and water from Claiborne, and I was sipping it slowly and thinking about Vivian and about Jefferson. Things had not been going too well for Vivian and me in bed, and I knew it was because of Jefferson, my worrying about him. Between him and school, I was drained of my energy. Vivian knew that, too, and she was ready to accept it, much more than I was. She knew how it had been before, and she knew how it would be again, and she told me not to worry about it. But that was not enough for me. I did worry. I didn't think anything in the world was worth us not being able to make it well in bed. Nothing. And that was one of the reasons I had come back here to see her, to tell her that I had finally reached him, and that I would be more relaxed now, and that it was going to be all right between her and me from now on. The two brick-colored bricklayers were still talking over in the corner, and for a long time I didn't pay their conversation any close attention. I heard the word nigger a few times, and I heard the words should have been done long ago, but I never made the connection. After I finished my first drink, I nodded for Claiborne to come down the bar, and now Claiborne heard them too. Maybe they wanted him to hear. Maybe they wanted him to hear so he would say something to me. Maybe. But all Claiborne did was serve me another drink, glance at them a couple of times, and go back to where the three old men were doing much more talking than drinking. I went on sipping from my second drink and thinking about Vivian and Jefferson. I was wondering what Vivian had worn today, and how her hair was combed, and how she would look when she came into the place. I was thinking about that, and about Jefferson and what he would write on the notepad, questions or comments. I was wondering what his handwriting would look like, and whether I would have the nerve to question him about anything I did not understand. These are the things I was thinking while the two bricklayers went on talking over in the corner. Down the bar, I saw Claiborne glancing their way again. He could not hear them now, but he had heard them when he was serving me, and he knew I could be listening. There was a tall one, and there was a short, fat one. The tall one was doing most of the talking, and I could tell he was angry. Maybe it was over his job. I had seen both of them before without being friendly, and I knew that, like so many of the mulattoes in this part of the state, they did bricklaying or carpentry, and possibly some house painting, all this by contract. And all this to keep from working in the field side by side with the niggers. Since emancipation, almost 100 years ago, they would do any kind of work they could find to keep from working side by side in the field with the niggers. They controlled most of the bricklaying business in this part of the state, even took that kind of work from the white boys, because they would do it so much cheaper than the white boys would. Anything not to work alongside the niggers. With school, it was the same. Many of them would drop out of school, would get a trade, bricklayer or carpenter, rather than sit in class side by side with the niggers. Their sisters went to high school and college, but they would not. Rather take a trade than sit next to the niggers. And those two who were talking now were of that way of thinking. Dumb as hell, but prejudiced as hell. They had no other place to go to do their drinking. They would not dare go to any of the white clubs, so they would come here and bring their prejudiced attitude with them.